Welcome to another edition of Spits and Suds. As this offseason, hard to believe, is winding down, what an offseason it has been, and what a week of Spits and Suds it has been, and what a terrific way to end the week with our Stars and NHL insider, Sean Shapiro, joining us in just a couple of minutes. We keep plugging the August 11th event, and Sean and I are going to talk about it in just a moment. The on-time expert said, Gavin, we want to be involved. We support local hockey. Amazing. They're coming to the table as the official partner of the Dallas Stars and saying, how can we make this event better for hockey fans? And they're giving away Stars tickets. So when you go to the August 11th event at Boomer Jacks at their Fairview Allen location, which Sean will also be at, your chance to win Dallas Stars tickets, also some merchandise. So they're just great. It's just another way that they want to embrace you as a customer for life. Earlier this week, the on-time experts came to my house. Had a little bit of a plumbing issue for a bathroom I never even used, but I have some people coming and they're going to use that area of the house in October. So I called the on-time experts because I could not get it done on my own. I was like, is there a clog? What's going on? And I was worried, did a tree root get into my pipes? And that would have been an expensive journey. And I trust the on-time experts. They came out, they assessed the situation, and you know what? They took care of it, and I took advantage of that drain cleaning special. That's right. And they had to work hard. In fact, the snake curled up at one point. It was a deep clog. And here's the thing. It was affecting the shower. It was affecting the toilet. And it was affecting my washing machine all in that area. I was wondering why the washing machine was acting up. I almost had to get a whole new washing machine. So that's the kind of stuff the on-time experts does. And for one low price, everything's working great now. And I'm super excited. The service was amazing. They followed up immediately. Gavin, how was the service? And of course, glowing reviews, just like nearly 6,000 of you online, 4.8 out of 5 stars have said the on-time experts are great. So take advantage of those specials like I did. And I also took advantage of that same day service guarantee, just like you. I didn't want to call them and say, hey, I'm Gavin Spittle from Spits and Suds. They probably wouldn't care. But I wanted to go through the process just like you, because I wanted to make sure that if you're a Spits and Suds listener, you are getting the VIP service just like I did on Monday. So keep them in mind. The on-time experts at theontimeexperts.com. They're supporting local hockey, so support them. Speaking of support, wow, so excited to see Sean Shapiro in just a few weeks, Tuesday night, August 11th, Boomer Jacks at the Allen Fairview location. You can always follow Sean on his Twitter/X at Sean Shapiro. He is also putting out great articles and great content on his Substack, Shap Shots, Elite Prospects. He writes for them in Elite Prospects. I was doing an interview the other day with the NHL commissioner, and Elite Prospects was up, and I was verifying information as the interview was going on, because that's my go-to, is Elite Prospects. But they also put out great articles featuring people like Sean. I got all my draft information from Elite Prospects, and you can too. So support the people at Elite Prospects. D Magazine, he also writes for D Magazine, putting out great hockey content, and a new episode with Robert Tiffin dropped on his YouTube channel, Algorithmically Incorrect. I feel like with all he's doing, Sean, man, I might as well, like, the whole half hour should just be on your stuff that you're doing. You are one of the busiest men in hockey, my man.
I am, Gavin, I am so happy to be here, though, right now. It's busy, but we are... I'm very excited about everything we get to do, and I'm excited about one of the funnest, coolest, whatever terminology you want to use right now about some of the setup, Gavin, is I've found a lot of people who are willing to share the wealth of my time and work together on things. Shout out to EP right now. I've got, you and I were texting yesterday. I texted my boss over at Elite Prospects, told him about the event, and he said, "Oh, well, why don't I give you some merch to send down there to give away to the people?" And so I love that we've got kind of, so we'll have some Elite Prospects merch coming with us too to add to the bevy of reasons for people to show up and kind of listen to us talk about hockey as well. So it's fun to be working with open-minded people in this business, Gavin, that are kind of understand that we can all get along.
Yeah, absolutely. And David Castillo joined me yesterday. I had a real good pod with David. And one of the things I mentioned is on his Discord channel, part of that Stars group, they're like, "Hey, we're going to go to this event. So this is going to be our first meet and greet in person." And mm-hmm. I absolutely love that, because this is more than just the podcast. That's why I'm calling it a hockey celebration. I want people to come from different areas and come together and talk hockey. And if you want to listen to the podcast, that is great. So super awesome that Elite Prospects is doing that. I also want to plug you, and big news this week, Steven Meserve, who does an amazing job for 100 Degree Hockey, is coming to the program. So we're going to get some Dallas Stars and Texas Stars flavor. And on top of that, you co-authored with Steven Meserve, We Win Here, which is a terrific read. And we'll be giving away some copies that are signed by you and Steven. And that's a great giveaway as well.
Yeah, it's really exciting. We're going to have a lot of fun stuff. And for me, it's Steven's a really good friend, obviously. I've known him for a long time now. We've worked on that book together. It was just really a passion project that kind of it's kind of cool to have an event like this where the reality is that book that Steven and I wrote is basically just years of us basically just talking about stuff and having ideas and then saying, "Yeah, we should write this into a book someday." And then and then we went and did it. And so it's for me, it's a pretty cool thing to have. It's a pretty cool thing to have Steven being there and to have kind of be able to share the book, to share this event. It's going to be a ton of fun, Gavin. I'm really excited about what we're doing here.
I am too. And ironically, I got a tweet from Martin Crooms, who lives in England. And he said about yesterday's pod, "Enjoy when David is on." And he signed up for David's Substack, which I always encourage. These people support Spits and Suds. Let's support them, including Sean. And he writes, "Any chance of a round table style pod with all of your guests? Imagining it would not be easy to arrange, but would be a good listen." Well, that's part of the August 11th event. We wanted to do it in two parts, not just, hey, show up and watch the podcast. So from 6 to 7, it's going to be just a real informal. Come up to the bar. We'll have a designated area and come spend quality time with Sean, Robert, and Leah and Steven. And then at 7 o'clock, we'll head over and we'll do the podcast. And we have some cool guests and we're going to have giveaways. And there's going to be a Q&A session there as well, where people can get on the microphone and ask questions, anything you want. So, and then we're going to podcast it. So that will be part of the roundtable discussion, because I agree with you, Martin. One of my favorite memories was the Stars Prospects weekend with the Detroit Red Wings, and for some reason the press table, and maybe it's because a lot of people weren't covering it, but it was Sunday night, and it was Sean, Robert, myself, and Steven, and while we paid attention to the game, the conversation just flowed. That was as far as hockey memories, that was a great one.
I love that, yeah. I love hearing that, because that's always, for me, that's one of the people are one of the coolest parts about this. And I love I get to cover a sport for a living. And there's a lot of, obviously a ton of fun with all of that. But for me, to some of the people you meet and get to know, and the people that kind of go from residual in life to that, that's one of the coolest things for me. And to me, this is, there's, it's reminiscent of the only thing that I've really done like this before with the type of event that, you're scheduling here, Gavin, is when my prior employer, right before the Winter Classic, we had an event. I think we had an event. It was on like either it wasn't New Year's Eve. It was December 30th, two nights before the Winter Classic. And we had a bunch of people at an event, kind of, I can't remember the location, in downtown Dallas and everything like that. And it was so cool to have all of that. And that was one of those events where I remember from that place, me and a couple other people have talked about, like, hey, that was one of the kind of golden moments at that place before it kind of all decided to take a different turn for that company and how they approach things. But to see, I know it wasn't your intent to, your intent was always to build a podcast and a community and then see what happened, but to see something like that come together in fruition again, it's really awesome, man. So
yeah,
thank
you. It's excited. Oh, absolutely. No, this is something that, you know, I look forward to. And the funny thing is I'm not stopped. Like, we could stop right now and it'd be an amazing event, but I'm still working the phones for other surprises. You know, I'm just like, and I'm like, all right, maybe I should pace myself because expectations will be high if we do a second event, but you know what? Why not? It's a great barn to do it in, Boomer Jack. So tons of giveaways. As a Stars fan or a hockey fan, you're just going to have a fun night. The best part is it is completely free. Also, shout out, I know this has affected you, Sean. We do have a lot of listeners in Canada. The devastating wildfires, and it is affecting America with the quality of air. I know a lot of events are being canceled, but you know, my heart goes out to those that are losing their houses and other devastation that's happening, because you know, Canada is so special in all of our hearts because of hockey and more. They're our neighbors, so I know it's affected you, Sean.
It is, yeah. I am, luckily for me, it's just as simple as, in the grand scheme of things, it's really smoky and muggy outside, and I got to keep the kids inside, and we got to be a little bit more careful right now. So luckily I'm impacted to that extent where I don't have what some people are dealing with in Canada when it comes to loss of life and home and everything like that. But yeah, it's the air quality, you look up, it's very, there's no other way to put it other than it's very Mad Max-esque.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's eerie with what the air quality looks like and where it is. And, obviously, hopefully this is something that is, hopefully we've got, hopefully nature takes some course on yeah, removing the smoke here over the next couple of days too, because it's weird looking outside. Like my one kid off at camp this week. They've got to stay in. It's more of an indoor camp at least, but all the outdoor sports camps that they also do at that building, they're all crammed into the gym right now because can't be outside.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, we dealt with that in North Texas a couple of weeks ago with the Sahara dust, and storms from the Sahara kick up into the air and they make their way all the way to America. And it was just amazing outside. You really couldn't see downtown. And it was affecting the air quality. So thoughts and prayers to everyone up north. All right. Big news this week, Sean, and I'm glad, you know, you have an interesting perspective. I think I have an interesting perspective as someone who deals with broadcast rights regarding Victory Plus and the Texas Rangers announcement that they will be immediately leaving Victory Plus, and that was followed by the Anaheim Ducks saying that they're leaving Victory Plus. You were on it. You talked to the Stars. Give us your thoughts.
Yeah, it's so I think one of the first things to just say, and I've written this, but it's to put out, is this is all confirmed too, right? Like the Rangers have left for,
yes, Buzzer.
Is that how it's pronounced?
Yeah, BZZR. Yes.
Yeah, the Rangers have left for Buzzer. The Ducks are leaving. We don't know where they're going to. That is still, I spoke to someone from that organization on Wednesday evening, and that is all confirmed. The Ducks are leaving Victory Plus. And if you are a Stars fan, I'm sure it's easy to look at this situation and ask, the Texas Rangers are leaving and they're making comments about the solvency, the financial solvency of this, and the Ducks are leaving. And you see the reports, which are true, that Victory Plus has missed payments to the Ducks as rights holder payments. Why are the Stars, as they have said, still status quo with Victory Plus? This is where being an innovator and being first to something comes with some challenges, because the Stars are, for better or worse here, they're basically in bed with Victory Plus and where this all goes. They are, when the Bally Sports, the Diamond Sports Group, or whichever was the final company to own those networks before they all went downhill, when they left and the Stars decided to go down this option, instead of getting a more traditional deal with a distributor that included a full rights fee payment, there was some equity changing hands, and the Stars hold equity in Victory Plus. And so for the Stars, this is not a for the Stars and Tom Gilardi, the Ducks and Rangers leaving Victory Plus is not good for the Stars' bottom line, and it's a little bit of a canary in the coal mine on what might be happening. And I, to be a bit blunt, Gavin, I had somebody from the NHL who works in their broadcasting department say Victory Plus isn't dead, but it looks like it's on that way right now. So yeah. it's a pretty scary situation. And the reality of this all is, as wonderful of an idea as it is to have your games for free, free streaming and everything like that, can you financially make it work? And so far, the Victory Plus model has not been working from a financial perspective. And there is a, from a Stars perspective, I'm fascinated to see. Right now, they said status quo, but Brad Alberts even admitted to our pal Robert Tiffin a couple of months back that at some point they may have into the pay model the Rangers were using. It is the RSN, the streaming, the rights, all that stuff continues to evolve. And there's also a door open right now that the Ducks are probably going to take, unless they find another one, where the NHL is taking over some streaming options the way that MLB has done with, there's about like, what, you know better on baseball than I do, Gavin, but I believe there's about seven or eight baseball teams that are run by MLB right now.
When
it comes to the, like, so the NHL is about to do something similar this coming year with about a handful of teams. And I would not be surprised if the Ducks didn't opt into that. I'll say that on this front, I feel for the, I will say this on the Rangers thing. And once again, Gavin, you're more of the baseball side, and I don't know what you know or more than I do, but as someone who works at, has a station that has their, that works more directly with them, maybe you know a little more than I will say this. You don't change a rights partner in the middle of the season unless you've got, you're not changing a rights partner in the middle of the season unless you are very serious about the business side of it. I know some people, and I've seen Jared on Twitter going and trying, obviously doing a pretty good job explaining it. Like, the reality is, I know someone might look at it and you might have your conspiracy cap on of, oh, Buzzer has a minority, one of the Rangers minority partners has a stake in Buzzer. If the reality is, from a business sense, if it really was something about, oh, let's go do something with our minority partner streaming service, it wouldn't have been done in the middle of July by the Texas Rangers. It would have been, you would have said, hey, okay, we're going to see Victory Plus through the end of the season. And then we do it in the off season if we change it over. This is the Rangers, whether you have your conspiracy cap on or not, I can say this, and you can tell me whether I'm right or wrong on this. With how rights contracts work, with how all of this works, with the heavy statement you're talking about with financial solvency, you are not making that move unless you are really scared about the state of that business.
Yep. Absolutely. No, you're absolutely correct. And the fact that the Anaheim Ducks came out and said that payments had been missed, or not necessarily was reported. That is a telltale sign.
Yeah. And the Ducks, to be clear, the Ducks have done exactly what they have to do, where they're, there's been no one made available on the record to say it, but I have had multiple people from that organization confirm to me that indeed this is all true.
So I wanted to throw this out as an idea. I feel as though we've come to the point that blackouts are antiquated because there's so much content out there now that, to me, I will tell you, as the boss of a radio station, I'm all about spreading the wigs of my hosts and the radio station. If it helps the brand, I'm all about it. In the past, it would be like all the content goes with me. And I feel it's that way with leagues now, where I think to solve this issue, like, it frustrates me sometimes that I cannot watch the Stars and I have the league package. And I hope they're going more to that platform, because here's why. From a revenue perspective, it helps. Well, I'll give you, like, for a team perspective, when the team owns various things, it no longer is put the commercials on TV. And this is why the Stars are building a new arena, because they get control of the parking, the rent of the bars around there. They get the ribbons. Everything in and around the building is theirs. And I think that model needs to happen with broadcast rights, because if I'm a consumer and you're saying you're going to pay $150 a year or so, which I pay for the NHL package, now all of a sudden I can go to commercial advertisers, and I'm not just selling the Dallas Stars. I'm saying your commercials can be seen in Vegas, in New York. Name the biggest markets, LA. We can do that for you. And I think personally, that's why the NFL's thrived.
Yeah, I think the NFL model too, the other key with the NFL, I mean, the NFL is always a tough comparison to anything else, because it's a once a week.
Absolutely.
It's
limited.
It is. It's limited, right? Like, it's
every game matters. You're right. Yeah.
Exactly. And there's a, and as much as even the most, like, for example, I got every single week throughout the NFL season, there's a group chat and text of, hey, where are we getting together to watch, like, hey, anyone hosting, like, are we watching the Lions game this weekend, whatever, right? Like, that's something that I see with on the daily basis in my life throughout the NFL season. There's nothing in the NHL season, MLB, NBA, no other sport has that ability to be like that. There's just simply too many games, right, for that. So that's one problem. The other thing I think the NHL runs into, and it's the whole, and once again, I can't speak to the NBA and the MLB on as an expert level on this, but so I can only speak on the NHL level. With where the NHL has been from a financial perspective and where things go, there's been, it's kind of a chicken or the egg thing of, there's some antiquated business models they have to hold on to, right? There's some short-term, and bear with me on this statement here, Gavin, but there's short-term negatives. If you go to the full, if you take away the, if you go, if you get rid of the blackouts, right, there will be short-term negative financial impacts.
Yeah, like places like MSG and Nesson, which are, you know, different things. Yes, you're right.
There will be, and so, like, for example, there will be short-term negative impacts of, let's use MSG, for example. And now I know it's the Dolan family who owns MSG and the Rangers, but there's still about, there's still for MSG or Nesson, I still believe that's around a $40 or $50 million check that's going to the Rangers or Bruins for those rights. And that's $40 or $50 million that is worth that much because of the exclusivity. And so if you all of a sudden open it up,
they're going to be like, well, what are these rights worth? Where do they go? So there is a initial short-term negative.
Yeah.
Personally, I believe there's a long-term viability, especially with the generation as we're going, where you have to make your games as readily as possible. And I say this as someone who is both works and covers the sport, but as someone who has young kids and I watch how kids consume things, right? Like, you're not just competing for, you're competing with everything, right? Like, it's like right before we did this show, Gavin, I've got my son's home right now because obviously it's the middle of the summer. He's not at school. And so I went and go like, OK, I'll put something on the TV for him while you and I record this show. And I go to the Apple TV remote and there's 15,000 things that right at my fingertips for him to watch. Yeah. Right. Like, and that's that. But that's the generation that he like. So my son is five. I've got an 8-year-old now. That's the generation that's growing up where. That generation, as a sporting event, as they become the decision makers in 10, 15 years from now, you have to have your sport ready to be delivered to them. It's the Netflix. It's why Netflix is getting into the sports. It's why sports are getting into the Netflix space. It's why it's why the whole streaming thing is not like it's funny, right? Like I watch a lot of Premier League soccer and. While I'm sure there's, for me, I wish it was, you know, like, they have the package on Peacock, right? Peacock is, my 8-year-old knows how to find something on Peacock, right? Yeah. And that's the generation that is growing up. And so I think you need to make sure you're getting deeper and deeper into how do we make sure our games are more readily available for what the other business streams are going to be. And it's tough, man, right? Because like there is for so long, the rights, the TV rights have been what propped up a lot of business. And I would argue, Gavin, live sports is one of the few things that makes, that keeps anyone with TV anymore, right? Yes. Like it, and it's, so it's a tough spot to figure out, but, for me, from an NHL perspective, the ultimate solution that best fits is, hey, if you're going to pay for NHL TV or pay through it for get the ESPN Plus package, whichever one it is and everything like that, you should be able to get every game.
Yeah.
And that's going to be require the league to be creative. It's going to require some other things there. I think that's the ultimate solution here. That's it's a one-stop shopping spot for everything.
Yes.
Because the reality is right now there's too often the question becomes, how do I watch the game? How can I get the game? And we are moving more into a consumer base of if it takes three steps to get the game, you're going to lose somebody between step one and step two.
Well, one of the things when I'm running the radio station, I always think when I'm acquiring teams is I'm doing that to bring in an audience, but I still have to hook that audience more than the actual games. And if I could just offer constructive criticism, because I feel bad because there are a lot of great people at Victory Plus, and I hope they can figure out a way. But one of the toughest things, because it comes with expense, is content aggregation. So the question, you know, for instance, if I was Victory Plus, if there was a cheaper way to do it, and obviously I come as a biased, I'd put Spits and Suds on there. I would find all kinds of local things or whatever. In other words, so every day, similar to a YouTube on a smaller level, I would go to Victory Plus, and because of that, I would watch ads just like I do on YouTube. And I know that's tough to do and it takes years to establish. And when I talked to the people at Victory Plus, they said, yeah, that's in the works. And it's just one of those things, like if you gave me special stars, coaches shows or in-depth interviews or different things, and I know that's tough to do, that would get my mindset more than just going to Victory Plus for the game. because that's the reason I go. If I want to watch some Western Hockey League, if I want to watch volleyball, let's just say, or, and so they've done it with the play-by-play. I just wish they got into a little bit more content.
It needs to be more of a, you need way more of a 24/7 network feel to it, right? Like right now, you go and you do a for Victory Plus right now, there's not the, this is a, there's not the, well, I'm going to turn it on during, like, I don't know how many people, like, I remember being a kid in the summer, Gavin, growing up, right? And like throughout college and everything like that, ESPN was our default, right? Like we just had ESPN, we just had ESPN on in the background. All
MTV, same thing.
Yeah. Like we just had it on in the background the entire day. And that was, and that's something that you're like, okay, how do you make that the case with Victory Plus? I think it's something where, like, it was the goal of, like, it's your guys, you can actually talk about this from a radio station perspective. Your goal right now is, like in my car in Detroit, right? Like the default radio station on my car station in Detroit is another Odyssey station, actually 97.1,
yep.
Right?
The ticket. Yep.
I turn the car on. It's on 97.1. That's mm-hmm. where I'm going to hear sports talk in Detroit. And I just don't think Victory Plus has done a really good job of creating that spot. And I know they've tried with this, the Frank Saravalli show, right, that they've got there and everything like that. And it's, and just to be a bit blunt, I don't really know whose cup of tea that is, especially when that show is also live streamed onto their,
exactly,
to YouTube and Twitter that Frank has as well. And so it's the whole, like, there's that other, that element too of it that comes into play for, like, are you going and creating enough for that, right? Like at one point there was a, I don't know whatever happened to it, but I know at some point All City and the DLS, obviously, that I did some work with,
yep,
they had a couple of their shows on Victory Plus, and that, yeah, is not, that hasn't happened anymore. And I don't know, to be very blunt, I don't know who was or wasn't responsible for how that all worked. So I don't know who, whether that was All City or Victory Plus making the decision for that to not continue. But the reality is, where is more of that? How do you kind of create more and more of a ongoing,
right,
just place that people go? Because right now, Victory Plus is where you go to find the Stars game. And that's it. And with the Rangers no longer being on there, because I would assume there's a big crossover of Stars and Rangers fans, obviously DFW sports fans, that muscle memory now of going to Victory Plus is gone from, yeah, the Rangers. Now it's, you go to Buzzer or whatever it's going to be. And how are you going to make that work? And I hope, like, the whole thing is, like, I think the Stars will be, at the end of the day, financially speaking, there's some things that are impacting the Stars that they're a big deal to a business, but I'm not really worried about the Stars are nowhere near what the Coyotes were or anything like that. Like, obviously, if the business of the Stars was so bad, the city of Plano was not making a deal with them, right? So as much as, like, I just want to be really clear on this, and this is kind of like a full perspective thing. There's concern. I also don't want anyone from the Stars to claim poverty on this, if that makes some sense.
Sure, no, it does. And, you know, one of the things that, listen, I'm just throwing out ideas, yeah, is that, you know, Stars appear a lot of times, like, you know, our Jerry Jones interview.
Yeah.
It is, you go to ESPN, you go to Fox Sports One, you go locally, you go nationally. How do you think they get that? They get that from us. We welcome it and we send and we say, just give us credits. mm-hmm. because I'm all about branding. I could sit there and take it and say, nope, it's all mine. I think other outlets need to get in the habit of that as well. For instance, let's just say Mikko Rantanen appears on a radio station, or, you know, Matt Duchesne or whatever. Mm-hmm. You can easily put that on. And even if it's audio, just put up pictures of Matt Duchesne. And I'm telling you, yeah. people would listen to that. Yeah. You know, check out Matt Duchesne as he appears on Colorado radio station, you know, things like that. So those are just ideas, because I would go to that. I would want to, you know, listen to what, you know, he had to say. So just some thoughts. We ran late on this, but it's an important issue. We'll get to salary arbitration on next week. Some people avoided salary arbitration. The biggest, Trevor Zegras, 4 years, $9.125. He's going to stay with Philadelphia. A couple within the division, Connor McMichael, the Blues, they avoid arbitration, $6 for $6.75. And Cole Perfetti, looks like it's going to be done. He's going to avoid arbitration, 5 years, $6 million extension. So teams are trying hard to sign their players before they have to go to the arbitration table.
Yeah, and I will be interested. We have about 8 days before the Jason Robertson case is on the docket in the calendar, and we will see where it all goes. It feels increasingly to me like that case will be heard right now, just because of this weird kind of not impasse, but I don't think the Stars want to go to sign the 1 year deal themselves. I think if the Stars get a deal done, they want it long term. So I have a feeling that while there's other things getting done, including Nick Robertson, for example, settling with Pittsburgh before, it does feel like to me like we're not going to see a Robertson resolution before. That's my gut feeling on that one.
Yeah. And the schedule release yesterday, David and I, you know, broke it down. So we did that yesterday. Is there anything that stuck out for you? Because I wanted to have some fun at the end. So from a schedule standpoint, is there any months or anything that stuck out for you?
I will say, for all the stuff that we talked about last year with condensed schedule and the Olympics, everything like that, still feels really condensed.
It does, doesn't it? Yes.
Like, it feels really condensed to me still. Like there's a, I'm looking at it right now. Like, and I know the season starts technically on September 29th, I think, on that Tuesday, but the Stars still don't start till October. Like, I look at October, right? It's like, all right, you have a 3-4 to start the year. St. Louis, Nashville, San Jose. You're play outside of a couple like extended breaks in February with built around what's basically the bye week and the All-Star. It still feels like you're playing almost every other day during the season. Yeah. And it certainly feels like this 84-game schedule is going to put some wear and tear on players.
Yeah.
It is not going to be forgiving. And I like even the whole, I don't know, like that Stadium Series game that's going to be February 20th. Doesn't it feel weird that the Stars are playing Thursday night before that?
Yes, and that right. to me is a trap game.
Yeah, because they're going to go, and the reality is the 19th, I would imagine there'll be a practice in Jerry World on the 19th, right? But shouldn't there have been 2 days off to, like, shouldn't there be?
Yes.
Like, I guess I should probably look at Vegas's schedule. Like what's the, while we're right here, like what's the Vegas schedule that week, right? They're going to be coming in. Let's see the Vegas February schedule live as we do this
So yeah, you're looking at Thursday, February 18th is when the Stars are at home against Philadelphia.
Yeah, and so like Vegas plays at 7:30 at 7:30 Pacific time on the 18th against Columbus at home, and at home. And so I'm assuming obviously Vegas will have the, but for both the teams playing in that game on Saturday night, like they should have, maybe you have them play the 17th, the Wednesday night before.
Right.
But are we make your marquee events your marquee events, I guess. Yes. Because all of a sudden it feels like we've crammed it into, or the other reality is, and I know you set the date before, you're playing on Saturday. Like, you could have, like, why isn't this game not on Sunday? Obviously, the TV stuff was what you figured everything out. But it's like, why is, I don't understand the kind of setup of this all. And I feel like it's kind of hurting the buildup to that event. And like, what you should have done is, it should have been what, maybe a Wednesday night, maybe Stars Philly should have been on Wednesday and everything like that. It's that feels like it's cheapening that event to me. The end of the schedule looks chaotic too, right? Like it's the whole, in April you go Minnesota, Chicago, Seattle, 3-4, followed up by Utah, Nashville, 3-4. Like, I don't mind the getting both teams. I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth here, Gavin. I like seeing teams play more often. I think it adds some juice to it and everything like that. But now with 32 teams and how spread out the schedule is, I think you want to see, it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't moment, but you want to see all, and you want to see every single team and everything like that. But the reality is, and once again, you can't be the NFL, but the reality is you don't need to play every team in the NFL to care about the NFL on a league-wide thing. And I just feel like with where the schedule is and how many teams we are, like, when you play Nashville on, when you play Nashville on October 3rd, and then you play them, that's a divisional rival, right? So let's think, say, oh, Nashville is a divisional rival.
Yes.
Which they are.
Yes.
Team so big that you play them on October 3rd, November 25th. November 25th, and then March 27th and April 10th.
Right.
So what we're going to get, I just think it's become so big where we're starting to reach the threshold in my mind of you either need to, I mean, we're getting to the spot in my mind of, do you need to play every team every year? Is it better? Like, is it just better? Or is it just better to be, I don't know.
Great point.
I'm bringing these things up because would it be better? Would you get a better product and a better quote unquote rivalries within your division, Gavin, if you just had a rotating, and once again, this is a crazy idea, I'm throwing it as we speak. Would you get a better product on a yearly basis if you played every team? If you're in the Central, and we're going to steal a bit from the NFL here, Central Division, you play every team in the Western Conference every year, but then you rotate which division you play from the East every year.
Yeah.
Will you rotate which Eastern Conference division you play every year?
I'm with you.
Yeah. So it's,
it raises ticket prices because there's a desire because you don't see the team as much.
And it's the whole, like, and you have this other stuff of like, okay, it's the fact of the matter is you'd like to be able to say like, all right, so let's just for this year, right? All right. Let's just pretend, okay, this year we have, Central plays the Atlantic this year and the Pacific plays the Metro this year. Okay. So you get more games against everyone in the West and then you have less games on the East. It helps with travel and it makes those games a little bit more marquee. And then next year we switch it and you play the teams from the other division. And then I don't know, like it's like, I want to see every team. I get that from the old school thing, but the league is so big now that
yes,
we've killed. It's become so big that we've killed what are the traditional rivalries, right? Like they're basically dead, right? The teams don't play enough. The right. teams don't play enough, and they. And for me, I would be okay sacrificing. So let's say we were to do that and say, okay, hey, the Central plays the Atlantic this year. Would it suck to not see Ovechkin in potentially his last season? Yes, it would. But I'd rather see my team play extra games against the Central that have meaning and juice than say, oh well, we're not why are we not playing, why are we not seeing Minnesota Dallas an extra two times? Well, because they got to play the Columbus Blue Jackets and the New York Islanders, right? Like, it's I'm just throwing these ideas out. So
no, I all right, I'm going to give you a perfect example.
Yeah.
If Colorado and the Stars play, obviously you're dialed in.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, because probably they're not a Central Division rival. If you're a diehard hockey fan, of course you're going to watch every, you know, hockey yep. game. But, you know, Winnipeg, you're like, okay. However, December 19th and 20th, back-to-back in Winnipeg, count me in on that. Specifically yeah. the 20th when things get greasy because they're facing each other. And I understand schedules are difficult, and a lot of times it's done by AI now, but it's unfortunate that you play in a year where you have to go to Vegas twice and you only get one home date, which is the stadium series. But what if I flip, if I could, that home date in Philly for Vegas? So in other words, I have Vegas on Thursday night in Vegas, two teams playing on Saturday, buildup happens, things get greasy, they settle it at AT&T Stadium. That to me is something that I think is lost because of all the teams, and we kind of get it sometimes in the playoffs, is the drama and the yeah. rivalries and the greasiness of playing a team. Like, for instance, one of the things I'm excited about this year is Tuesday, December 1st at Seattle, Thursday, December 3rd at Seattle. To me, I love the back-to-backs with the same team. I think it builds character. And, you know, candidly, it kind of leads into our next thing, which is, you know, best road trips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. I 100% yeah, agree. So
I just wanted to mention this before we go, because we've gone long today. Sean is so generous with his time. So this is what I pulled, Sean. And please, as a guy who has gone to the NHL barns throughout North America. So I always think, yeah, October 3rd, which is going to be a tough ticket because it's one of the, you know, it's in Nashville to begin the season. So mm-hmm. it's a Saturday night game, but the Bridgestone Arena is at the beginning of Broadway Street or the end, however you're going up and down. There's hotels around there. It's a great trip Saturday night. So you can watch Stars hockey and then you can just go out the front door and you have country music and bars. So love going to Nashville. I think it's great. February yes. 12th and 13th. A Friday, Saturday, back-to-back, to me, the most underrated trip is Tampa and Florida. Why? Because Tampa is a great city. Go in a day early. Enjoy Tampa. I'm happy to help you. But then you get to drive through the Florida Everglades because right at the ending of the Everglades is Sunrise, Florida. And that's where the Florida Panthers play. So that to me is a cool road trip back to back. It's a pretty easy drive. And a big portion of that is going through the Florida Everglades. Have you done that trip, Sean?
I have made that drive before. It is actually, it is a ton of fun actually.
Yeah.
So I think you're spot on with, enjoy that is something to do. It's outdoor stuff. It's going to be a bit weather wise. I'm not sure exactly what it's going to, what it's going to do for you on this, but I will say a super intriguing, fun thing if you want to go see some really beautiful scenery and the world and everything like that. I do like that that Thursday, that early December Seattle, Vancouver
yes.
trip, Pacific Northwest. You could fly into, if you want to do a full week trip, you could do that. But if, even if you just wanted to do the Thursday, Saturday, fly into Seattle on Thursday, see a game there, drive up to Vancouver, get a right. seaplane. You do the seaplane around Vancouver on the 4th and then go to a game and then maybe get out and explore Vancouver. I know it's early December, but it's definitely that popped in my mind right there.
Yeah, no, I love it. There's also an Amtrak train that goes from Seattle to Vancouver, likewise Vancouver to Seattle, and it goes along the coast. So you'll see seals, you'll see a bunch of stuff. It's pretty amazing. I took the Amtrak from Vancouver back down to Seattle and really enjoyed it. Yeah, that was one of my favorite trips.
The other one from a just the right time of year to go and everything like that, if you want, if you're going to rent a car, and this is something that you want to do in March, there's Calgary on the 17th, Edmonton on the 20th. Last year to see a game in the Saddle Dome, which is it's an old lovely old building. It is a dump, but it's a lovely old dump. Last year to see a game there on the 17th, rent a car. So you got 2 days between games to go explore, to drive around Alberta, where the weather is going to, it's still going to be a bit cold, but it's going to, Banff is going to be about an hour and a half drive away. Rent a car on the 18th and 19th, give yourself the leisurely drive from over a couple days to do a little bit of a short rental car road trip from Calgary to Edmonton in March. And then you get to see, old game building and game in Calgary, last place in one of the oldest buildings in the league. And then also get to go see an Edmonton game in Edmonton and see Connor McDavid. So yeah. that's a sneaky good one right there.
Another one, it's going to be cold, like Sean says, but you know, we're in Dallas. A lot of people like to see snow. Fly into Montreal over the weekend and then December 27th, because a lot of people are off between Christmas and New Year's. So December 27th, you play Montreal. Then you have a day to travel up to Ottawa, not that far. And you could see Montreal and Ottawa. Christmas in Canada is beautiful. That's another thought. And because it's Spits and Suds, I went the extra mile, Sean. November 17th, you play in Vegas. November 19th, you play in Vegas. Gavin Spittle went on hotels.com. And yes, you can get a hotel between $80 and $100 because that is a slow time of year in Vegas. How do I know? Because I lived there for a long time. And so around Thanksgiving is always slow in Vegas. To me, that you want to talk about cheap rates the following week, Thanksgiving week, you can get a great deal in Vegas. So those are some of the trips. I'm so glad to have you because you've experienced so many of these barns. And I will tell you, I've even gone to St. Louis, Sean. I loved watching a game in St. Louis. Just pick a city, folks, because it's an experience. I hear the experience in Columbus is fabulous. So pick a city, have a blast. If you've never gone to another city to see your team, I personally feel it's an amazing journey because you get to explore during the day and you get to watch your favorite team at night.
It's fun. Like just, yeah, it's, and there's stars in general, while to be a bit blunt, one of the nice things is the Stars typically aren't a jacked up ticket like
right.
the Blackhawks or Rangers or Bruins are. So it's still a, obviously you're going to run into some ticket price, but it's not like you're saying you're trying to go to an original six game, right? Where all of a sudden the ticket prices are jacked up. Say you want to go see a game in Toronto, or Toronto's always going to be expensive, bad example, but say you want to go see a game in New York or something like that. Your team is one that they don't really jack the ticket prices up for as much because of what the Stars are on the national scale. And that's not a bad thing. It's just, I'm just telling you how these ticket prices tend to work.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Okay. You did a new episode of Algorithmically Incorrect with Robert. Tell us about that and tell us some of the things you have coming up while at the same time enjoying some family time before the grind begins.
For sure. Yeah, we had an episode yesterday. We talked, obviously, the biggest NHL news this week was the Steve Yzerman stepping down from in Detroit, or getting let go in Detroit, depending on how it's the terminology technically comes out. And we were joined by my good friend Ryan Hanna from the Winged Wheel podcast, and they do a great job. Quick note on what Ryan and the guys do at Winged Wheel podcast. You may have heard me speak about times the Jamie Daniels Foundation. Ken Daniels is the play-by-play broadcaster for the Red Wings, and his son tragically lost his life in his early 20s because of issues with substance abuse and everything like that. And he was put through the ringer of a system that is set up to take advantage of people in that. I can speak not from my personal use, sure, but I have a couple friends who have dealt with some things on that world. And so, the Winged Wheel podcast guys do a great job with Ken and every single year in the board at the Jamie Daniels Foundation to raise a bunch of money for that, to kind of put the right resources out there for people dealing with substance abuse and everything like that. So we talked, so wasn't intentionally trying to get on a soapbox there, but point is, we had Ryan on, we had some great stuff about Steve Yzerman, talked about all of that, but they do a great job. And so it's important for me that we bring people on that are all about the right thing. So we did a great job. Really excited about that. We'll have some more writing early next week. But man, Gavin, I'm really looking for, I got August 11th on the calendar for some reason. So I'm really looking forward to it.
It was so great because I just said, I don't know, the Frosties are going to be flowing. How am I going to get home? And Steven is like, I'm in for the event. And by the way, you know, I'll get you an Uber. I'm like, I'm good, man. You know, but that's the guy. It's such a community. I'm like you, man. I am jacked. I'm working on a couple of other things. So I don't know how we're going to get everyone on the program. I don't care. I'm just going to have a good time. And however long the program goes, it goes. And then you guys are going to have an algorithmically incorrect the very next day, you and Robert live together for the first time. So
yep.
We'll figure out that situation too. But it's going to be a cluster, but in a good way. So
it's going to be, again, a good way is a great example.
Mistakes will happen, folks. And but at the same time, the fact that so many of you have already responded and said that you're going to go, that just means the world to all of us. We appreciate it, and it's going to be a great time. Sean, thank you so much for your time. I mean, the podcast this week, I've loved every single one of them. It's been a great week of podcasts. Thank you. A couple of listeners have reached out and, you know, complimented, and what a way to finish. Unless something big happens, then we'll pop on Saturday or Sunday. But, we'll be back next week with another episode. Sean, have a great weekend. Hopefully you get to get outside this weekend. Hopefully it clears up so you and the family can have a great weekend.
Yeah, Gavin, hope so. And always fun. And as I said to everyone, thank you so much for this. And we will see you all. We'll be doing the show. We'll do a couple more shows next week. But looking really forward to seeing everyone in a couple weeks here.
Absolutely. August 11th is the date. Please mark it on your calendars. Boomer Jacks. The event begins at 6:00. It's their Fairview Allen location off of East Stacy Road. Very, very easy to find, right off Central Expressway. So excited about that. Thanks to Sean. You can support Sean with his Shap Shots Substack. So you can find that at his Twitter, at Sean Shapiro. Remember, folks, I always like to remind, these guys are so humble that come on the program, but they are supported because of you, and they love putting out the content. That's one of the reasons they enjoy coming on this program. So please support Sean and all his efforts with his Substack. Subscribe to his YouTube channel, Algorithmically Incorrect, that airs weekly with Robert, of course, D Magazine, and Elite Prospects. Sean is so high on them, and I am as well. That, what a great website for information. For Sean, I'm Gavin, our producer Gregory Finley. Thank you so much to the on-time experts, who will also be a major part of the event. Until our next podcast, which who knows, could happen immediately. We'll see. It's silly season, folks, but it's been a great week thus far, and have a great Friday, everyone.